good to see everyone that's here this evening. I know that there are those of our number that are out traveling and are not here with us, but we're thankful to see everyone. And I want to echo what Brother Jim had to say in terms of our visitors, is that we are very thankful for your presence, and we invite you to come back and be with us at whatever opportunity that you have to do so. Please bear with me just a little bit. I've been a little under the weather, and so my voice may not be what it normally is, but we wanted to go back to this series of lessons that we had taught that came from a Christian expositor journal that Brother Matt Trent had seven lessons in that had to do with what every member should do or be, that kind of thing. And we'll just quickly review that we started out with every member should have a home congregation, and that they should worship regularly, that they should be working and not idle, but they should live a holy life that reflects our love for one another, that we should sanctify our families. And then tonight we want to cover every member should evangelize. And there's different ways that we can do that. And we'll talk about that a little bit this evening. Luke, the 19th chapter and verse 10 says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. An example like none other." Certainly, we as members of the Lord's church ought to be interested in not only going to heaven ourselves, but taking everyone that we can with us. Think about it. We all have varying talents. The scriptures bear this out. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, beginning in verse 28, where it says, "And God set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues, and all are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret." So it's obvious that we have varying gifts, talents, if you would, abilities. And on the other hand, we all have at least one talent that we cannot neglect. And that is the ability through our conversation and our example to tell others of who we are, who we serve, to whom it is that we belong, and the reason for the hope that lies within us and the anchor of our soul, according to Hebrews 6 and verse 19. I wanted to say something real quickly. This is something that you may have heard it, but it's something that my brother sent to me, and I thought it was applicable at this time. It's a little deal that includes four characters: everybody, somebody, anybody, and nobody. There was an important job to be done, and everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry about that because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought that anybody could do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have. That's a quick little thing that says that we all need to be busy, don't we? Before Jesus ascended, he gave what is often referred to as the Great Commission. Mark, the 16th chapter, beginning in verse 15, says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned or condemned." It was here that Jesus gave his disciples a mission. And it wasn't a mission that these men were capable of accomplishing in and of themselves, but they were perfectly equipped because Jesus gave them what they needed. He gave them the gospel. Paul said in Romans, the first chapter and verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Armed with the gospel and the gospel alone, the followers of Jesus Christ are perfectly equipped. Paul defines the gospel in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, beginning in verse 1,
Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. The story of Jesus' sacrifice and the resurrection provides the cure to the sins of mankind, all of mankind. And this is the good news. This is the gospel. Jesus' disciples were very successful. As a matter of fact, those that would characterize them in Acts, the 17th chapter, verse 6, says, those that had turned the world upside down are come hither also. Their example provides us with a pattern for what we do to further the mission of Jesus in our lives and in the time that we have to spend in this earth, on this earth. Let's let this serve as an introduction to just a few comments, very short comments, on our collective responsibilities and our to evangelize and our individual responsibilities to evangelize. We presented, I believe it was in the very first lesson of this series of every Christian should or every member should, and we talked about how we ought to have a home congregation and be a member of a local congregation. And thankfully, we don't have to evangelize the world alone, but as members of a congregation, we are able to collectively reach the world with Jesus' story. In order to be successful, we have to cooperate with other faithful Christians. One way that we cooperate is in the giving of our means so that men that are willing and able can be set apart and dedicated to the support of evangelistic works. And, of course, that's only one way. In Romans, the 10th chapter, beginning in verse 14, it says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, we have believed, who hath believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The church at Antioch sent Paul and Barnabas. They were sent out on what we know as the first missionary journey. Acts, the 13th chapter, beginning in verse 1, it says, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manian, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. As they had ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So from Antioch, Paul would go on to make three missionary journeys, reaching a large part of the Roman Empire for the very first time. The local church certainly has a role to play in evangelism. Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verses 11 through 16, speak about growth in organization and in knowledge and in love. When every part of the body does its share, the church will grow. Ephesians, the 4th chapter and verse 16 says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. In our lives, yours and mine, we also have an individual responsibility to take the gospel to those that we come in contact with, and that might be someone that we work with, maybe it's somebody that we go to school with, a neighbor, a nurse, it could be anybody. Someone that you're standing in line with at McDonald's. That last one causes me to think about Brother Miles King. That man not only could, but would strike up a conversation with a complete stranger. We might say that he never knew a stranger. And as some might say, he could talk to a fence post. Somehow, his conversations would always have a religious content and probably, more times than not, an invitation to go to church. What should each of us do? Let me just say with regard to the invitation to go to church. When's the last time, don't answer me, just to yourselves, when's the last time you had somebody come up to you and say, man, I just want to go to church with you. Can I go to church with you? Probably not. But when's the last time you actually invited somebody to go to church with you? We probably have folks that are here this evening because somebody invited them to come to be here with us. What should each of us do as individuals in evangelizing? Well, the first thing that we might do is that we, as members of the Lord's church, need to lead a changed life. The Thessalonians had a reputation for this. 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 9 says, "For they themselves shew of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." The things that changed in the lives of the Thessalonians helped to open doors of opportunity and to spread the gospel in other places. Their example was helpful to others contemplating a change in their own lives. Secondly, as members of the Lord's church, what we can do as individuals to evangelize is we need to walk with wisdom toward those that are without or those that are not in the church. Colossians the 4th chapter and verse 5 says, "Walk in the wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man." Our example can be a powerful tool in evangelism and opening doors of opportunity. Just one example would be our speech. Maybe how we dress, maybe how we conduct ourselves. The way that we speak is extremely important in our interactions with those that we associate with, which leads us to point number 3. Have a conversation. There are lots of examples of people bringing others to Jesus here in this physical life, his physical life on this earth. There were a lot of those times that these individuals may not have been very well educated in New Testament principles, but they knew enough to invite people to learn about Jesus. And I'm going to mention 3 examples. Andrew talked to his brother Peter, inviting him to learn more about the one that he believed was the Messiah, over in John, the 1st chapter, verses 35 through 42. Another example would maybe be the Samaritan woman who went back to her village and told the people there about a man that knew everything about her without ever having told him anything. That's John, the 4th chapter, verses 27 through 30, and then verses 39 through 42. The third example was the man that was possessed of a legion of demons. Jesus told him to tell all the people what he, that is Jesus, had done in this man's life, in Luke, the 8th chapter, verses 38 and 39. In every one of these cases, people that only had a basic knowledge of Christ invited others to learn more about the man who had helped them. He had a significant impact on their lives, and so much so that they wanted to share it with others who also wanted to know more and to satisfy their curiosity. Brother Matthew Trent, in his Christian Expositor journal, made the statement that inviting others to learn more about Jesus didn't involve necessarily a theological debate. They just invited them to learn more about the one who had changed their lives. We, as members of the Lord's church, are looking for opportunities to tell everyone that we can about the good news. And fourthly, what we can do as individuals to evangelize is be good listeners. I know that sounds a little strange. It sounds a little backwards to me, and sometimes if we're good listeners, the life examples that we set will generate more opportunities than what we might have otherwise. Of course, we have to be looking and listening for those opportunities. Many of you know my son Kyle. He teaches speech and communications, amongst other things. And I took note and thought that it was interesting, and again, a little bit strange, that he begins his speech classes by teaching his students to be good listeners. It was interesting. I was talking to him a little bit today, and he says, well, if you had 30 students and each of them was going to give a speech, only 1/30th of their time is going to be giving a speech, and the rest of the time is going to be listening. It's a huge component of effective communications, and part of that might lend itself to the saying that nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care. By being good listeners, we then can have an awareness of the opportunities for sharing the gospel in the circumstances surrounding us every day. In Philippians, the second chapter, beginning verse 14, Paul provides a very beautiful and compelling picture of the impact of the Christian life on the world. When he says, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. The world can be a dark place in need of the light of Christ. And you can be the light that shines for someone else through the Lord Jesus Christ and our Savior. So, I told you it would be a little bit shorter this evening. I wanted to wrap up this series of lessons by talking about evangelism and how each one of us can be involved in that, both individually, and think of ourselves in terms of what we can do collectively as a congregation. Foundations that may only touch the tip of things are things that we can use to gauge our spiritual growth, both individually and collectively. And so this was the reason that I had for wanting to present this series of lessons, is because it was something that I knew another congregation had used in generating some plans and goals for themselves privately and for the congregation as well. We would never close the worship services without offering the gospel invitation. We know from a study of the scriptures that you must hear the word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, that you must believe. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That we must repent of our past life, that is, to put away the old man and begin a new life in service to God. Acts 2 and 38, Acts 17 and verse 30. We must confess our belief in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, as we know that the Ethiopian eunuch did. And then we have to be baptized for the remission of sins. And then we will be added to the Lord's church. But that's only a beginning. because we have to live lives that are faithfully obedient so that we might strive for a crown of life, as is spoken of in Revelation 2 and verse 10. If you are a member of the church and you have fallen back into the world, done something of a public nature, or you would desire the prayers of the faithful, we also want to offer that at this time. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. If there's one of either case, we ask that you come as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.